This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Listening to Open for Business here on BFM 89.9, the business station. I'm Lily Chai. So when we go grocery shopping at retail outlets in Malaysia, it's known to us that retail stores still have the punitive measures of 30 cents a plastic bag or no plastic bag at all policy during weekends to discourage plastic use. And our Natural Resources, Environment and Climate Change Minister, Nick Nazmi Nick Ahmad, also said that the government is targeting zero use of plastic bags by 2025. But how effective is this and what can we do better? So I'm here with Joshua and Joel Lim, the co-founders of BeBag, who want to reward people who use their reusable bags when they shop. So I'm here to find out how they're doing this, what are the challenges that lie ahead of them. And they have been on Open for Business September last year, but so many things have changed and we are here to explore that. So welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much. It is a great pleasure to be here.
We are happy to have you on. So this business idea actually started off as a university assignment and project, right? And it soon became a business. Congratulations on that. I don't think...
Thank you so much.
Right? So can you briefly explain what BeBag does and what your respective roles are in the company?
Got it. So I'll do a short intro about BeBag. So essentially, it's a company that aims to solve plastic pollution by encouraging people to reuse more often. And how we do it is we basically created an app and also the technology. So those are NFC chips and also the QR codes that can transform ordinary reusable bags into smart reusable bags. And this essentially is not just for bags, but it can also be reusable containers, reusable cups, because the main thing is actually the technology. So how it works is we have currently over 6,000 locations across Malaysia where shoppers can earn rewards with their smart bags. So all they need to do is visit one of our partnering store with their smart bag. They open the app, they select a reward, and to activate the reward, they just need to scan the NFC chip or the QR code to activate the reward. And then, yeah, voila, they earn B-coins and they can later exchange it with rewards or even charity donations such as planting a tree, fishing plastic out of the ocean. So all those fun stuff.
Yeah. And regarding those location hotspots, those are like your regular convenience stores or grocery stores like 99. We use them as the hotspot distribution point.
Right. But what do you do respectively in the company?
Got it.
Got it. So I am the CEO. So I'm Joshua, if you're wondering who's speaking. So I'm Joshua, CEO. So I'm more towards the front side. So investors, partnerships, strategy alignment. And then Joel is the boss, operating the whole operations, making sure there's a company.
Internally, so like finances, design. So I end up doing a lot of design work for the company, like the website, even the bag, the app. So it was also a design. I designed it. Like a fun story is when we're back in university, we were very well known for being very bad at art. So when it comes to like assignments, when it comes to design, hey, don't let the twins touch it. So like we end up when we started the company, okay, we had to learn. And the more we did it, I think the better we got.
You guys came from an economic and like finance background as well. So anyway, let's talk about your products. So essentially you sell reusable bags, please correct me if I'm wrong, right? With NFC tags, and then all your customers, all they have to do is just scan the NFC tags themselves when they use your reusable bag, and then they own points on your app. And the motivating factor of all of this is just to reduce plastic waste and make it a bit more reward-based instead of punitive, right? Yeah. But there are controversies about, you know, reusable bags, and then, you know, it's said by CBS News that, you know, reusable bags have actually a higher carbon footprint than normal plastic bags. And a cotton bag, to be truly, you know, sustainable, should be used at least more than 7,000 times.
Yeah, that's right.
And it creates more carbon footprint as compared to a conventional plastic bag. So why do you think your reusable bag can make a difference?
Got it. Yeah, this is really, really a great insight. So this is true, but when you look at other materials as well, if the reusable bag is actually made from like plastic, PET, or even better, recycled PET, it doesn't actually require 7,000 times to actually break even. It actually requires only around 50. Like if the materials that is why for our products, we only go for materials that have a low environmental impact. So even for our tote bags, it's not cotton. It's actually recycled plastic PET. So it's actually made from recycled plastic bottles. Okay. So for this bag, you don't need to reuse it like 4,000 times, 7,000 times to break even. You can just reuse it a couple hundred times and probably you will be able to break even in like 1 year, 2 years.
Yeah, but the goal is definitely to last way longer than that. And because we also realize that, like what you mentioned, a lot of reusable bags are damaging, harmful, when it's actually not being reused to its potential.
Right.
And we realize that actually me, everyone, has a lot of reusable bags at home.
Yes.
But a lot of us, sometimes when we go do groceries, we end up leaving them in the car. So we came up with B-Bag to solve this exact problem. So like Joshua mentioned, we have the NFC tags QR code. Right now, it's just on our own products, but we are trying to figure out ways how we can do this and replicate onto your own reusable bags. So anyone bags, you can perhaps like have a QR code, something attached to your bag, and you can start collecting rewards with your existing bags. You don't really need to buy a new bag to collect points with B-Bag. So that's the goal with rewards. With the bags you have at home, start using them with this developing the sustainable habit.
Mm. But I think the fun part of B-Bag is still the ability to scan and then earn points. I mean, you're trying to gamify the whole experience when it comes to using reusable bags. And if we take a look at what is happening among the retail space, like Village Grocer and Lotus, they have rolled out their own rewarding system to reward their customers who bring their own recycled reusable bags. It doesn't have to be their own brands, but as long as it's a reusable bag, they will reward them. So your competition here is actually pretty tight. Although this is all good for the environment, business-wise, what are you doing about this?
Got it. Yeah, so that's a very good observation. So that is why internally the strategy as well is actually B2B. So we know that B2C, it's a very limiting market and it's very difficult to tap into. And at the end of the day, the key thing or our unique like value proposition, the USP, is actually the technology. So it's the NFC chip and the QR code. So moving forward, we actually want to partner with a lot of businesses so to actually enhance their current solution. So for Lotus, now they're just having this add-on where it's very manual. On the counter, they have to see like this shopper, they have this bag, they will give this point. But what we can do is maybe work with like retailers like Lotus, create Lotus's smart bags. And what they can do is actually distribute this, and we can also give them data on how these bags are being used, what is the environmental impact of the bag so distributed, and also we can also give them some data on their shoppers, customers, demographics or behaviors. So that is actually one of the market or sort of thing that we want to venture into. More data analytics, more retail marketing. Not just no longer just sustainability.
Right.
We could be a complementary partner to Lotus and Village Grocer rather than like a competitor situation. Yep.
Okay, but right now you're both, right? Your business model is still B2B and B2C.
Mm-hmm.
But which focus are you particularly on right now when it comes to, you know, promoting and marketing your products?
For this one, definitely it's going to be B2B. We started off for the first year, that's like B2C, but we realized B2B, that's where it's
more potential.
Yeah, more potential. Right? It's easier to onboard. And
there's also like a few reasons. One thing, when we launched a B-Bag 1.5 years ago, we noticed that there's a barrier of entry because for users to start collecting rewards, they actually need to buy the bags, right? That's a cost to them. So by working with corporates, the corporates would be able to buy in bulk, they get at a very affordable price, and then they'll be able to distribute these smart bags to the users, to the audience. It's a much better distribution point for us, and also we are able to make a larger impact through the B2B route.
Okay, I know you've been in talks with like Maxis, Sunway to talk about this, right? So how has the partnerships been going on right now until today?
Got it. Yeah. So for Sunway, since Sunway, they are also our investors, we are collaborating on a cross-app integration with their Sunway Pulse app. So what this essentially hopes to do is to have a gamification feature inside the app where people can earn rewards with their B-Bag powered smart bags. And we're also discussing on whether or not to create a Sunway smart bag that they can distribute to shoppers, to their employees, to like, you know, gamify the whole sustainability process.
Right.
So that's like the collaboration that we're discussing with Sunway. For Maxis, it's still also on the very early stage of the discussion, but that would be more towards retail data analytics type of collaboration. So not just sustainability, because they are not like grocery, they are not the typical FMCG kind of seller. So that one, it's more towards our new sort of company alignment, which, yeah, that's something that we're also super excited. A potential rebranding as well to help us better refocus and also capture this new potential, basically. Right.
I feel like you've been running the this whole business for about 2 years now. I think you guys have collected some data points as well. But I do want to talk about that in a few minutes, because it's time for us to head into some messages, but don't go anywhere. I'm here with Joshua and Joelle Lim. They are the co-founders of BBag, who want to reward people who use their reusable bags when they shop. So I do want to find out more about them. So do stay tuned here on Open for Business here on BFM 89.9.
Being first matters. BFM 89.9.
Listening to Open for Business here on BFM 89.9, the business station. I'm Lily Chai. I'm here with Joshua and Joelle Lim. They are co-founders of BBag. They are they basically sell reusable bags with NFC tags, so that they want to reward people who use their reusable bags when they shop. I feel like your NFC tags have received quite a lot of data, right? So I think the most important one is, how many plastic bags have you saved, right? Can you talk to me a little bit about what insights you have collected so far?
Got it. To be more accurate, like although the company has been run like for, we started a company like about 2 years ago, we actually launched 2.0, which is the current model, on March, right? And so it was like about 2 months ago. And what's recorded in the database, we have reduced over 1,500 plastic bags as recorded in the app. However, the actual number, I believe, is much higher than that.
Right.
Because we realized as we work with partners, like the B2B route, when they distribute the bags, not all users are aware of the app. So they end up using the bags, but they don't record it with, they don't scan it, they don't collect points of the app. And for this reason, we weren't able to track the data. So there is this sort of limitation when it comes to the, you know, the data that we collect.
Yeah, the education part.
Something that we found out that was sort of like a barrier. So that's why we're also introducing new things to help us better like translate this message. This is a smart bag. It's not just an ordinary bag. You can actually earn rewards with it. Yeah.
But besides that, right, what other unique data did you find from the tag itself? Because you mentioned in the National Solutions Forum in 2022 that you're able to collect, you know, unique data points, right? So what are the unique data points that you have collected?
When it comes to the unique data points, like full disclosure, everything is accordance to the PDPA. We do not disclose any personal information. But an example of how it could work is, for instance, we work with a brand like a retailer A, right? We partner up, we create like a smart retailer A bag. We will be able to tell, track the data on where these bags are being used at other hotspots. So we could even report to them whether this bag has been used at their competitors, a competing retail outlet. So that these are the type of unique data that we're able to show them.
Right.
And other than this would be traffic, like the footfall rate through the reuse.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm imagining you have done market research before rolling this out. And I think one of the problems that we have seen is a lot of people have so many reusable bags. We buy so many because we don't bring it. How do you think that reward system is able to encourage people to use more? I mean, I think a lot of people know that plastic bag is bad, but sometimes you just forget, right? It's in the car, but you just decided, I need to buy something when you pass by your grocery store, right? So how are you trying to navigate through that?
Yeah, so we know that even by just relying on rewards itself, it's not enough. We have the punishment, the penalty, and then we also have the rewards. But underlying, it's the most important thing is also still education. Like looking at Western countries, they don't need any punishment. There's no rewards. People just instinctively recycle, instinctively reuse. So I believe education is also a big part. The rewards is here to incentivize and to basically increase the chance of people reusing. And we also base this on a sort of successful campaign by Tesco. So previously they launched a campaign called Unforgettable Bank.
Okay.
So it's also a bank with a barcode. Whenever shoppers reuse this thing, they can actually earn rewards discount. And just on this Unforgettable Bank campaign, they were able to increase the reuse rate from like 5% to 68% in the very first month. And that whole program, they were able to reduce more than 5 million plastic bags throughout the whole Tesco. So this initiative is essentially taking this campaign to a next step further, including more technology and also making it accessible to other retailers, to maybe the mom and pop stores. So because they also play a huge role.
Well. How many bags have you sold, including like B2B and B2C transactions? And how many active transactions are there per day in terms of your users?
Okay, so the amount of bags that we have that is in circulate is about 3,000 bags, B2B and also B2C.
Right.
Ever since we launched 2.0.
Right.
And then for the active reuse rate wise, it's rather than daily, it's more towards like a weekly basis. So we don't see them using it on a daily basis at a moment until we introduce some new features. So our active user rate is about 30-40%.
Right.
Right.
Do you consider that as high or low or average?
It's actually quite low, to be honest. Yeah. So it gotten better after some more education. It started off quite low at like 20% actually, and then now like sometimes we see like okay, with more education, with the partners actually encouraging some like corporates, they encourage the employees. So if those active users, you will see them like out of 4 times a month, they will use it probably 2-3 times. Not all. Because like you mentioned, the smart bag, they have only one of it. They can't have it at everywhere. So sometimes they leave it at home or another car.
Okay. The most interesting thing I think is your bags are made out of recycled bottles, right? The process of finding the manufacturer to do this is actually pretty tough. So tell us how you got to this point.
Yeah, it was quite difficult because we also want to find a supplier with like the certification, right? Not just saying they just made from plastic, but it's not made from recycled plastic. So we actually bumped through a few sort of not good suppliers until we eventually got to this, and it's all in China. So we tried sourcing it in Malaysia, but we just couldn't find one that is also economical viable for us. Because it's like almost double the price. Initially, when we started out, we wanted to have like at least making like profit. We don't want to sell the bag too high so that it's not accessible to people, right? So yeah, that's how we eventually got that. It's through a lot of searching and also asking people, and it's based in China. Yeah.
So supply chain wise, what challenges have you faced since it's not a local manufacturer? And besides that, right, you now have to cater to B2B. So you have to change the bag pretty often when it comes to the designs, right? So how are you overcoming that barrier?
So for the travel wise, I mean, there are some hardships when it comes to importing from overseas. Like the production lead time is much longer. You can't do QC there, so you have to self-estimate, have an error margin, so you order some extra units. One thing is we get caught up with their local holidays a few times. So we, unexpected, we didn't plan for it. And when we want to order, okay, it's their holiday and it's quite long. And when it comes to design, it's actually pretty straightforward because when we work with the corporates, they don't require like super fancy type of design. They mainly want to get their message out there, the positive message, and then their brands out there. So we work together in-house to draft out a design, probably just like 1 or 2 rounds of revise, and then it's good to go.
How many percent is the reusable plastic in one bag? Like how much impact are you making in just one bag?
If the impact in terms of like upcycle wise, for the foldable bags, which is the RPET foldable bags, it uses 3 bottles, RPET bottles. Right. Regarding the tote bag wise, we still don't have like a concrete number on that. But it is made out of RPET and it's a much thicker. But actual number, we are not 100% sure. So we can't disclose that as well.
Right. Okay. All right. I do want to talk about protecting your design, right, as a company. And I do want to talk about the funding that has come through recently as well. But it's time for us to head into some messages, but don't go anywhere. I'm here with Joel and Joshua Lim. They are the co-founders of BeBag. They basically want to encourage people to use their reusable bags, especially when they have NFC tags on it, to earn rewards so that people will reuse bags when they shop to reduce plastic waste. So do stay tuned here on BFM 89.9.
Broking Financial Mergers, BFM 89.9.
Listening to Open for Business here on BFM 89.9, the business station. I'm Lily Chai. I'm here with Joshua and Joel Lim. They are the co-founders of BeBag. Basically, they sell reusable bags with NFC tags, so they can reward people when they use their reusable bags when they shop. Okay, I want to talk about the design of the whole bag, right? Is it something that is easily replicable? And do you have intellectual property protection that is in place so that, you know, people don't copy and paste?
Yes. So we are filing for a patent for this new whole concept of NFC and also QR code on the bags. So that is definitely coming on the way. The design on the bags, pretty much that's, we don't want to IP any design specifically because since we're going B2B, so yeah, I don't think that would be a very crucial part of the business. Yeah. But the IP for the tech, yes, definitely.
So you would say that no one in the market is doing it in Malaysia.
In Southeast Asia as well. The two closest competitors, they are in EU and also in the US. Yeah, so in Southeast Asia, it's still a blue ocean, so to say.
Okay. I'm thinking the NFC tags and the people who manufacture the bags are two different manufacturers, right? So how do you put these two puzzle pieces together?
We got to source it first. And usually we work with that. So the whole process usually begins with the NFC tags first. Right. We work with the NFC tags manufacturers, unique code, everything. Once it's done, we then ship it to our bag manufacturing partner. So we discuss, have a few rounds of meeting, how we want the tags to be stitched, how we want it to be placed. Although there's usually still errors from time to time, but it's within the expected range.
Right. So, yeah. Okay. So how long did the whole R&D process take, including the revision of, you know, so many different versions of the bag?
Okay. So it began actually not NFC tag stitched under a bag label. It began as a pin.
Okay.
Because that was like our 1.0 mechanism. We ordered the NFC tags in the form of pins. And then we just pinned like a lapel pin. But it was not safe. Yeah. It might fall off. And
It did.
Okay, we spent like about 1 or 2 months actually figuring out how we want to better place the NFC tags on the bags.
Mm.
Also sourcing the right supplier.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, I want to talk about your app, right? You reward people through, like, there are two interesting ones, like, besides vouchers with, like, pharmacies and stores, zero-waste stores. There's a planting a tree, as you mentioned, and Fish 5 plastic bags initiative, right? Can you tell us how your customers or the users of the app keep you accountable as to these two things?
Yeah, that's a really good question. For the Plant a Tree campaign, we work with organizations.
Mm.
When the user, like, they buy the Plant a Tree voucher reward,
mm.
what we'll do behind the scene, back end, is we will then provide a donation to these organizations for them to facilitate whatever process needed to plant a tree. For the accountability-wise, it comes to our like audit when we select the partners, the organization. So we work with organizations who have worked with like big companies, who have supported like big campaigns, and they also have like their annual reports. So if the user do demands like accountability, we're able to get it from the partners, and then we'll just, you know, we'll be able to hold them accountable if anything.
Mm. Yeah. How about the Fishing 5 plastic bags initiative?
Yeah, so that's also with like an organization.
Mm-hmm.
So normally this organization, so it's not technically like Fishing 5 plastic bags. It's like equivalent weight. So like five plastic bags equivalent weight of plastic waste.
Okay.
So we work with organizations that cleans the ocean or like do beach cleanups. So yeah, that's how we do that part as well.
Interesting. But I'm wondering, what is your main revenue stream? Besides selling the bags, one bag is about 30 ringgit on average in your store. And then besides selling them to corporates as well.
So the bags will be one of the revenue stream. Moving forward, it's actually more towards sort of the gamification campaigns and also advertising. So this too, that's one of the reasons also with the funding from Scale Up. That's also where we will be developing more features and also shifting our focus as well to more data analytics and more retail marketing. That's where we see the bulk of the revenue will be coming in, and then that's the revenue stream that will enable us to basically scale further than like just selling products. Products, physical products. Yeah.
Okay, okay. Let's talk about your locations first before I elaborate more on the funding side, right? And 9 months ago, you said that you were at 14 locations with and 14 stores, but now it's about 5,000 to 6,000 locations with more to come, right? So where are these 5,000 locations and how did you speak to people in order to get that partnership?
Upfront, it's sort of like misleading. In the beginning, like the 15 stores, those are like individual stores, franchise that we speak to personally. So we call them as official partners.
Okay.
So we speak to them and then they do provide a voucher onto our stores. And the 5,000 that you see, those are what we classify as unofficial partners.
Okay.
Right? So those are like the stores, like I mentioned in the beginning, we use them as a distribution point of our hotspots. It works very similar like Pokemon Go. It's like they select different stores, different locations, like the hot locations as there are gyms or whatever, so people can go there and gather. So it's the same concept. We use them as a distribution point to set up our pins. And those are also relevant locations. Okay. So we wouldn't put like a hotspot in like a garden. So all of these relevant distribution points. So we reward people. More points for users to collect rewards at.
So I would imagine that among these, you know, 5,000 locations, there are grocery stores, retail stores.
Correct.
But do they know that one of your hotspots is actually them?
Yes. So out of them, there are like a few big names that we put inside this 5,000 to 6,000. A few of them, we are currently speaking to them to basically onboard. So this is also our onboarding strategy. We want to like use their outlets as a hotspot first. We collect data. These are the people that are actually using this in your hotspot. So when we go and like negotiate with them or like try to onboard them, it's like, okay, people are actually using it. There's data to prove it. So that's sort of our way to convince them as well. Yes.
Okay, let's talk about your customer and revenue growth first. What are you seeing from these 2 years?
So for the first year, it was quite quiet because we were in the R&D stage, so we didn't really launch. Since we launched the first prototype, so we launched that for like 3 to 4 months, we were able to get around like 200 beta testers on that one. And we noticed like a problem, the scalability. And back then you mentioned like there's only 14, right? Because that was also using the BBank 1.0 mechanism. So the cashier has to scan. So it's very not scalable. So once we shifted to the BBank 2.0, we were able to increase from like 200 to like around 1,000 right now.
Okay.
So that is just a few months time. We were able to get that. So with this shift as well, we're also able to onboard our corporate clients. So they are our very first corporate clients. So one of them is like a public listed company, one is an MNC, one of them is a startup as well, e-commerce. So with this change, technically from zero B2B revenue to got B2B revenue, and then like also like more than triple our user base as well with the new BBank 2.0.
Okay. Let's talk about your finances. I know that your father invested the initial capital to kickstart your business, right? 50,000 ringgit. So where were the funds mostly channeled to at that time?
Yep. So initially that is all spent on R&D and also the app development.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. You pitched to quite a few investors, right? Not only Scale Up in these 9 to 10 months. And you, of course, recently were selected for Scale Up's Cohort 4 Accelerator Program with $1,000 funding. So you touched on what you were going to use with the funds. Do you mind elaborating a little bit more?
Yes. So basically throughout our 1 year of like launching BBank, and we also spoke to partners in retails and also brands in retails, and then also like shoppers. We found out that there's a lot more problem that they are facing that we can actually provide value to them.
Right.
For shoppers, when we speak to them, they always ask like, is there any other way for me like to even save money or like earn more with like your solution? And when we spoke to retailers and like brands, they are always asking for like, what kind of additional data can you provide me, not just demographics, and can you actually help me better sell my products? So we found that this is actually quite a huge, there's quite a huge gap in the physical commerce, offline retail. A lot of people might not know this, but 90% of our spending is actually still offline in Southeast Asia. So while e-commerce might be like growing fast, the retail space is actually still a very significant part of our lives. But in the physical offline commerce, a lot of data is not actually being captured. And as a result, the retailers, the brands, they actually oftentimes like mistarget their shoppers because they actually don't know who their shoppers are. Like, are they a peanut butter lover? Are they a strawberry lover? So they can't pin to who this customer is. And even if they can do that, they also can't like reach out to them personalized. So how can I only send this strawberry buy one free one ice cream to strawberry lovers or to people that haven't tried strawberries?
Right.
So these are all of the like gaps that we see in the market. So moving forward with ScaleUp's investment, this is the thing that we will be building inside the whole feature. So no longer is just about saving the environment and you earn points, that will be still a very crucial part of the company, but we also want to also help revolutionize and make the whole like physical offline commerce basically more engaging, more transparent, and also more efficient basically.
Wow, that is really interesting. It's completely, I guess it's a very different expansion from what you initially thought Okay, I think I want to ask a more personal question, which is, during so many pitches, talking to so many different people, partners, investors, what are the few things that you learn from unsuccessful and successful pitches?
Wow. For unsuccessful pitches, I guess it always comes down to preparation, but I guess it's also not just not enough preparation. That's like early on beginning. Time goes on, you sort of already have a grasp of what your business or whole business is. But even then, like pitches still fail. And I believe it's simply because the business, there's no traction to prove. Mm. As an investors, they also, they want to see different investors, they have like different type of mandate, right? For some investors, they don't care about this type of stuff, this type of metric. So I guess it's just a mismatch and really actually speaking to the right people. I guess that's what we learn as well from the failed pitches. We don't want to just speak to everybody because we need to also spend our time on the right people. So that's the one that we learn as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's a result of like a mismatch between investors and investors, because different funds, different mandates, they look at different stages. Other than that, throughout the different pitch, we get to know what the investors want to hear. So Joshua is usually, so he's the pitcher. He's the one doing investor relationship.
Not the one throwing the ball, but
yeah. He writes a script and that's like a very internal perspective. But sometimes what the outsider audience wants to hear, you don't know. So you gotta keep pitch and then you will listen, hear feedbacks. You will hear like people asking questions about this particular topic over and over again. And it's like, okay, maybe it's time that we include this part into the pitch deck, make it more apparent. And even until now, we are still like reiterating the pitch deck, making it better.
I guess the more you practice, the more you understand what investors want. Okay, I saw on both of your LinkedIn that you are in talks with, again, Maxis, Sunway, and then, of course, Mirante, MDEC as well. Besides the B2B model that you guys are focusing on now, why are these people important to you, especially when your end goal, you just said, is with retail stores, right? So tell me about these partnerships.
Got it. Yeah. So that's true. So the main partners that would essentially be the best fitted for this business model is also the retailers and the brands. But we partner with them as a sort of like our technological partner. So to help us roll out technology, to help us R&D and build this technology, because we also want to keep our mind and also head open to also other opportunities. Because they are still like Maxis, they are still inside the retail space, right? So in the initial beginning stage, we know that this technology can potentially also fit into other industry as well. So we are also like keeping our hands not tight and then explore opportunities. Yeah.
And then when it comes to Meranti, it's like usually like the projects. So we recently won, they call it the Meranti Impact Challenge,
right?
MICA for short. And it's a partnership with UNICEF. So we got a top 5 spot. So we will be receiving support from UNICEF and also Meranti to carry out a project, what we call it, Project Activate. And then this project involves us working with primary schools, high schools, and then educating the students to have them upcycle their old clothes into new bags, so technically upcycled to bags,
right.
And then we'll be attaching our technology onto those bags.
Okay.
And after that, what they'll do is they'll pass the bags to their parents to reuse. So they will be the change maker. They will be the voice to sort of like change the parents' behavior to be more sustainable. Because we realize like a lot of times we think like whoever's reusing the bag, we should straight away go for them, go after them, target them. But then we realize that actually one of the very unknown change makers, strong voice, are actually the children. We ask a lot of parents, yeah, I listen to my daughter. She tells me what to do. So, yeah.
I guess education starts from home.
Yes, exactly.
Right. I really love the whole direction that you're... a very exciting space, I would say. Okay. With so many plans in place, what are your projections for this year alone?
So for projection-wise... We are now, since we're already in talks with like a few retailers, we hope to onboard at least one or two of them, the big ones, so we can actually roll out a project with them, not just with the smart reusable bags, but also on the new direction on the more retail marketing, retail data analytics side. And also, we want to grow the team as well. We know that with so many plans, we also can't handle it ourselves. So we also want to grow the team. And hopefully, by the end of this year, maybe get our feet into other countries as well, maybe Singapore or Indonesia, or start exploring basically. Yeah, so that's the plan that we have.
Yeah, and also like, so there's like upcoming features that we will be including into the app, which rewards you for not just reusing the bags, more towards like your day-to-day activities in offline retail. So that's also in the works. If everything goes well, we could be launching the new feature as a beta feature sometime late next month.
Yeah, and with this as well, there's a potential rebranding as well. So I think that's also one of the things that we look forward to happening as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys, this has been a very insightful conversation.
Likewise.
Thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having us.
I've been speaking to Joshua and Joelle Lim. They're the co-founders of B-Bags. So basically, they sell reusable bags with their NFC tags, basically to reward people who use their reusable bags when they shop. If you missed any part of this conversation, you can go ahead on our website at bfm.my or the BFM app that is available on the Apple App Store and Google Play to download the full conversation. I'm Lily Chai, and this has been Open for Business here on BFM 89.9.
Listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.